morning we're visiting with Rod Montang, and some folks around the area might remember Rod. He spent some time as a school superintendent here at a few different school districts in the southwest Iowa area, currently up in the Algona area now. Rod, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Well, good. Thanks for spending a little time with us. We wanted to visit not so much about your school experience, but more about your military experience. We've been focusing on some different veterans and some of their experiences and why they got involved and how and all of the things that they got a chance to participate in. And you were first, I guess, to put it politely, asked to join the military back in 1971, huh?
That would be correct. With the draft number 4, the politeness, that's a pretty lucrative term there.
Drafted, asked, you know, whatever. You took the call there and had that opportunity. What was going through your mind at that time?
Well, actually, I was kind of in disbelief that they would take me. I was married and my wife had a child, and we were towards the end of the Vietnam War, and they were starting to downsize, but apparently they still needed soldiers, and I went off to Fort Leonard Wood.
Where were you in your career at that point?
Actually, because of the draft number and my concern about being drafted, I had graduated from college, and I took a job with Jelco Incorporated working as a cost accountant on the nuclear project out at Brownville, Nebraska, and just basically waiting to be drafted.
Sure. Do something that you knew you could walk away from, I suppose, if the time came?
Correct.
Well, very good. Well, talk about your time then. Drafted in 1971. You were active for how long?
2 years. I spent most of my time stationed at Fort Hood, Texas, with the 2nd Armored Division. Because of my training and my background, I was placed in the finance office, and I worked as my official title was check writer for 2nd Armored Division. I paid all of the National Guard units that did their annual trainings at Fort Hood, Texas, as well as recruiters and death benefits for people who died while on post. And in 1973, I was spending about $1 million a month of Uncle Sam's money.
Well, I guess a lot of the other guys on base really liked you then.
They did.
They certainly liked to see
recruiters.
Your signature. Yeah. Well, when the 2-year hitch was up, then you decided to get back to the rest of your life.
That's true. At that moment in time, my wife was employed in Killeen, Texas, and I took a teaching job in Killeen and was employed there for a couple of years, and then we decided it was time to return to the Midwest. Our daughter was about to enter school, and we wanted her to have those opportunities in Iowa and Nebraska, and I was offered a position to teach and be assistant principal at the middle school in Nebraska City.
Very good. While you were there in Nebraska City, you couldn't get far enough away from the military, huh? They brought you right back in again, huh?
We purchased a home that ended up being about 4 blocks from the National Guard Armory, and some of the local National Guard members came and visited me one night and persuaded me to join the Nebraska National Guard unit there. It was mechanized infantry. I didn't know anything about mechanized infantry, but they assured me that they, in fact, could teach me everything I probably needed to know. And I thought, well, okay, I can do this. And the irony of that was my first drill, when I walked in the door, my platoon sergeant handed me a book. And he said, on page so-and-so, you'll find the instructions on headspace and timing for a 50 cal machine gun. You'll be teaching that class in 2 hours, so go read.
So not the same kind of training you got before you got into education.
Right.
Hurry up.
But it worked out, you know. Yeah.
Hurry up, figure it out. Well, did you spend a long time then in the Nebraska Army National Guard, even though you eventually moved to Iowa and actually bounced around Iowa in some of the different positions?
Believe it or not, my entire career was within the Nebraska National Guard. I drove the drills during the time period that I was living in Iowa. When I lived in Iowa, I was the executive officer for the armory in Columbus, Nebraska. So I drove to Columbus when it was drill time. When I was superintendent in Shelby, I was on the state headquarters staff, so I drove to Lincoln, Nebraska, even while I was superintendent in Maquoketa, I was driving to Lincoln, Nebraska for drills, so I always felt like when I got to Des Moines, I was halfway to drill, so there was some long trips along that way.
Yeah, for folks from this area who don't exactly know where Maquoketa is on the map, suffice it to say it's nowhere near Lincoln, Nebraska.
No, it's actually closer for me to drive to Chicago than it was to Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
So
why did you stick with it? It would have been easy just to, you know, to walk away from all that and just focus on the education career. Why did you decide to stick with that?
Well, initially it was the challenge, and when I had the opportunity to go through Officer Candidate School at Fort Benning, Georgia, and make it through that process and return to Nebraska, I felt that was one way for me to give back to others, because people had gone before me to allow that training and opportunity to occur. So I felt I needed to do the same. I felt at that moment in my time that if I stayed with the Guard for 20 years, that he established a retirement for my wife and I and some opportunities down the road. And time-wise, we thought, well, you know, maybe I can make major by then. And we got to the 20 years, and sure enough, I'd made major, and that was when they offered me the opportunity to go to Command General Staff School, and if I would do that, then I'd eventually make Lieutenant Colonel and Colonel. So I said, okay, I'll make that commitment, and that took about 2 years of correspondence courses and some trips to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and weekends in Madison, Wisconsin, doing classes, but we got it done. And then I got to Lieutenant Colonel, and I was offered the opportunity to go to War College in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and they would guarantee me making Colonel if I would do that. And again, my wife and I talked this one over, because at that moment in time I was working on my PhD at Illinois State, and we thought, well, you know, which one's going to be better for us in the long run? And so we decided I would just stop working on the PhD and focus on the War College, and that was also a two-year process, but probably the most challenging course that I have ever taken, because there were four phases. Phase one was correspondence courses that had to be completed in a certain time frame, and each of the courses had two papers associated with it, and you had to meet their guidelines. And then phase two was at Carlisle, Pennsylvania, for instruction there at the post, and phase three again was correspondence courses, and then phase four was back to Carlisle. The washout rate by the institution was one-third of the people. They tried to wash out a third of the people before they ever got to phase two. And I was the one of two officers from Nebraska that survived that process. So when I graduated from there, I received a second master's in strategic planning that has helped me on occasion when I was working on projects and working with people. And so my training between public education, my training between the military kind of interwove many times as I worked on various activities.
Rod, would you encourage young people to consider something like this as part of their life as well?
Absolutely. I think for any young individual who's not absolutely certain what they want to do with life, that you can grow up and mature and gain skills and training that would open doors for them that they may not even be considering right now. When I retired from the military, I actually ended with 34 years of service, which I would have never thought I would do that. And as my wife and I reflect on that, you know, that's a family commitment to an occupation, not just an individual person, because when I would walk out the door on Friday evenings, she was in charge of the household, and anything and everything that happened was her responsibility, and she had to carry her share of the load.
Absolutely. Well, we sure appreciate you visiting with us today, and we thank you for your service and all that you've been able to accomplish as well. It sounds like it's been very fulfilling for you.
Some of it has been extremely fulfilling.
Very good. Well, you and your wife, and continue to enjoy retirement, and we'll talk again.
Okay, Jim. Take care.